The Tom Woods Show, episode 615.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I got some great feedback about episode 610, in which I interviewed Sarah Young, the mom of seven who became a great online entrepreneur because she didn't want to leave her kids and she had to work from home. Well, she's putting on a special webinar March 15th, 2016, just for Tom Woods Show listeners, in which she's going to show you exactly how she does it. Don't even think about missing it. Register at tomwoods.com/Sarah. Hey, everybody. I'm hosting a cruise with Bob Murphy in October 2016. It's the Contra Cruise, and we are going to have a blast. We're going to have so much fun on this thing. 30% of the cabins are already sold out, and we've only been promoting it about a month. So don't miss it. Check it out at ContraCruise.com. Welcome, everybody, to yet another post-debate episode of the show. I was convinced, based on what I was reading online, that this was the second-to-last Republican debate. But then afterward, in an interview, I heard Donald Trump say that they were contemplating two more debates. So I don't actually know what the story is. But regardless, I'm here, as always, with Lou Rockwell to talk about what went on last night. And for my new listeners, Lou Rockwell is the chairman and founder of the Mises Institute, which is so very important. I told you a little bit about Murray Rothbard in an email I sent out to you. If you are not on my email list, shame, shame. Everybody knows your name. You can hop on it by going to BernieIsWrong.com and grab my ebook on Bernie Sanders, and then you'll also be on my list. Well, anyway, Lou is also the publisher of LouRockwell.com, which you should be reading every day. Do what Tom says here on the show. He was also the chief of staff to Ron Paul, who will be our guest on Monday. And as I was telling Lou before we went on, I said to my supporting listener Facebook group, I'm going to solicit questions from you guys for Ron Paul, but if you ask him anything that I know he has a regular answer for that he gives in interviews, I'm not asking him that one. So if you're ask him, what should my role in the liberty movement be? We know his answer is, that's up to you. And that is out. We are not asking him that. So we asked him some really juicy questions, so you'll definitely want to tune in for that. Anyway, Lou, welcome back to the show.
Tom, great to be with you as always.
All right. So last night, everybody after the debate, all the commentators, the candidates themselves, everybody, they were all congratulating themselves on what a substantive debate it was, and there was no name-calling, and it was wonderful. And I was barely able to keep my eyes open during that debate. And what I concluded, Lou, from this debate was that, you know, they really – I mean, when Trump afterward in an interview said, you know, I think we're kind of – you know, I mean, I'll – participate in further debates, but I think we're pretty much done. Like, I don't see any need for further debates. And in a sense, I see his point because I don't see that anything new was added last night. Everybody just said his canned lines about a whole bunch of things that we've heard a million times before. Nothing was nothing new in this debate last night. Is that how you felt?
Well, I'll tell you what was new. The three didn't go after him, didn't go after Trump.
Yeah.
They did just a little bit, and he responded, as is his wont, just a little bit. Where he only responds with a bomb if they attempt to drop a bomb on him. So I thought that was very evocative. Somebody said this was a death with dignity experience for these other three guys. They figured this was their swan song. That Ruby is going to lose in Florida. That Kasich is going to lose in Ohio. That Trump is the sure nominee. And they're all sort of wanting to go out. Not like the very interesting previous debate, which was sure a whole lot more fun to watch. I love it when they fight. And this was, you know, they're all trying to be serious and dignified and, yes, give all their memorized talking points. So it was interesting in a larger sense. The actual content of the debate, you know, I mean, I would have turned it off if we weren't going to have the show this morning.
Yeah, sure. Oh, that's an interesting point. I had not thought of it that way. That the reason that they're acting this way is not out of some sense of moral obligation that, you know, we have to give the public a substantive debate after that freak show last time. It's more a question of how do I want to be remembered, given that this is basically my funeral. That's a good point.
I love seeing this morning on Morning Joe, although Joe and Mika are at the Nancy Reagan funeral, so it was not as interesting a show I was interested to notice. But Chuck Todd was just visibly furious. These three guys This was their last chance to take down Trump, and they didn't take it. What is wrong? I mean, he's, you know, talking like that. And, of course, we know that's how the media.
Yeah.
And this, of course, this was a typical hate fest. Why, there's violence at one of his things, and a guy got punched, and you know, it's the this time it was the reverse knockout game. Not a nice thing to see, not a nice thing to happen. 78-year-old guy punched a 22 or 3-year-old guy from Black Lives Matter. He shouldn't have done it. But they're all trying to say, well, this shows Trump is a Nazi. And, of course, the fact that he had them had people pledging to vote. I thought all these people, by the way, were for voter turnout. Isn't that what we always hear?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's the shame. No, this time they don't like voter turnout, of course. But I must say it was fun to see every single person on the media last night and today just visibly furious that this was going – that nobody was listening to them. And, again, when they talk about all this, you know, the usual – stuff. Oh, you know, he said a terrible thing, and he's generating hatred against the media by criticizing the media, and therefore, allegedly, his campaign manager grabbed the arm of a girl reporter, and isn't that just horrible? And it's a threatening the First Amendment, and why this is so serious that the White House Correspondents Association made a protest about it. Oh, well, okay. Well, how about the – what did the Rotary Club have to say? I mean, so it, I just thought it was very fun to watch these guys just boiling in oil in front of your eyes.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, it does recall – I mean, I'll never forget the looks on their faces when it was announced that Buchanan had beaten Bob Dole in New Hampshire in 96. It was that kind of thing. Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. Didn't we tell you people who to vote for? Why aren't you listening? Before I went to bed last night, I checked the Drudge poll, which you and I are always very interested in, and I was interested to see that it was a closer result than usual, mainly because the race does seem to have winnowed down to two. Because if you put Kasich and Rubio together in this poll, they're not even at 9%. So it was just Trump versus Cruz. And when I went to bed, it was 55-point-something to 36-point-something,
yes,
which is as close as anyone's ever gotten to Trump so far.
That's right. And that was, of course, because all the Cruz guys went out and voted. However, if you look at it this morning when there are hundreds of thousands more participants, it's actually the best for Trump ever. He's at 64, Cruz at 24, which is lower than he's been recently, and Rubio at 6, Kasich at 5. Kasich, I heard that Rush Limbaugh says he sounds like he's running for Postmaster General, which I thought an interesting and a funny comment for once from Limbaugh.
Well, you know, afterward, again, I watched – I don't know why. I was just too tired to do anything, so I was watching the interviews afterward, and they're talking to Kasich, and I would appreciate – I mean, I think it just goes to show how – what kind of president he'd be. They're asking him, look, the math is really stacked against you. So, you know, how are you feeling right now? And or you know, if you're not the nominee, I mean, have you considered the possibility of vice president? And he was absolutely indignant that someone would be presuming that he was not going to get the nomination.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is like straight out of the Soviet Union. Somebody who will look you right in the eye, tell you something that you know is the complete opposite of the truth, and be absolutely bewildered that you're not accepting it. Now, the difference is in the Soviet Union, they would have put you in a mental hospital. Kasich can't do that, but I just could not get over his attitude.
No, it was, of course, it's funny, and it's, you know, I think he's still actually the biggest warmonger on the stage. He doesn't talk much about it, but the things he says are pretty chilling. I got to, you know, arm the freedom fighters in Ukraine.
Oh, I know.
And don't pay any attention to the fact that the Russians think that Russian speakers are different than the others. And, of course, arm the Kurds, our greatest supporters in the war on terror and so forth. It's ridiculous. I mean, and he's not the only one to talk about the glories of the Kurds. All these guys do it, but he's pretty terrible. But how often can he say, I balanced the budget? No, he didn't. That was actually Bill Clinton who balanced the budget. No Republican, of course, wants to say that. And it's always, why, as chairman of the so-and-so committee, I cured leprosy or whatever he's claiming.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, does anybody believe that? I mean, does anybody say, oh, boy, I better send money to this guy? Maybe they do. I just don't see it any more than the other establishment candidates. And it came out this morning that some of his ministerial supporters are saying that Cruz has been blessed by the Holy Ghost and anointed by God to be the president. And Chuck Baldwin has a column where he talks about the dad, Raphael, going around and preaching in all these evangelical congregations. And what his – it's funny, nobody has ever brought this up before. What his argument is, Ted will protect Israel, will exalt Israel, will do everything for Israel, and this will bring on the second coming of Christ.
Wow.
In other words, God is, you know, somehow waiting for what a politician does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a very – it's, you know, obviously it's untrue, and it's – I mean, it's untrue on a bunch of different levels. But how come none of these reporters – of course, they like Cruz because he's anti-Trump, so they haven't revealed this. But maybe a little bit of it is coming out now. And I thought, again, Cruz, he does look like a vampire. Aren't his ears even a little bit pointed? And is the way his mouth is, I mean, I don't know, when he talks about war, it's sort of like he's, you can see the blood dripping off his fangs. Very, very nasty piece of work.
It is a shame that he's just so because I will say I thought Cruz had some decent moments, and I want to get into one of those in a minute. But before I forget on Kasich, because it's easy for me to forget Kasich. So before I forget, his, you know, they're all trying to connect with middle America. They're trying to do what Trump has successfully done. And yet with Kasich, it's, you know, there's a part of him that is very compassionate and so on and so forth. But his claim to be connecting with middle America is a little implausible when his priorities are, we got to show China that it doesn't control the South China Sea. Like, what in the world difference does that make? Or we have to arm the Ukrainians. We have to do this. We have to do that. I mean, it is an unbelievable laundry list of priorities. Oh, and yeah, eventually, if you're struggling with wage stagnation or something, you know, maybe I'll have a little time to get to that. But really, I'm playing, you know, the board game Risk right now, and don't bother me. It's crazy. Whereas Trump, when they asked him about ISIS, you know, of course, he has his very, very, you know, he, you know, well, if the generals tell me we need 20 or 30,000 troops, which is preposterous, but if they tell me that, I'll do that. He said, we'll beat them, but then we're going to come right back home because we got a lot of problems here.
Yeah.
That's a message that whether or not he would implement that, apparently we've learned
from
it does resonate. You can get away with it.
And of course, this was Ron Paul's message.
Yeah. There are people who respond to that, who say, I don't care. I couldn't care less what's going on in Ukraine. What possible difference could that make to me? None. None at all. All right. Let's talk about Cruz. Before we talk about Cruz, because I do have a good I thought a decent point that he made. Let's pause for a quick message. Hey, everybody. Back on episode 610, I had a wonderful guest named Sarah Young, mom of seven, who back a number of years ago when she had her first child – the moment she had that first child, she said, you know, on second thought, I don't think I want to go out and get a full-time job. I want to stay home with my child and eventually my seven children. So how was she going to do that? She became an Amazon affiliate. She had a website about baby strollers, and people would go to her site, and then when they decided to buy, she would earn a commission from Amazon. Well, these days, it's tougher to set up affiliate sites like that and to earn an income online in that way. But she has stayed up on this ever since, and she's going to share her knowledge with my audience in a special webinar on Tuesday, March 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Sign up at tomwoods.com/Sarah. I'm going to be donating for every live attendee $5. I'm going to be donating to the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. I want her to have a nice big audience of enthusiastic people who want to know, how is this done? Well, she knows it because she's been doing it for years and years. Other moms were begging her, teach me how to do this, and she's going to be doing that on this special webinar for my listeners. Definitely don't miss it. Sign up at tomwoods.com/Sarah. All right, I do want to give credit where it's due, and again, this may be largely rhetorical, but isn't that what a debate is all about? It's all going to be rhetorical. But, you know, when they were talking about Social Security, for example, and Rubio was saying, look, some aspects of the program are obviously going to have to change. And the others were more or less saying something like that. And Trump was saying, no, look, there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse in Social Security that if we get rid of that, we won't have to change any aspect of the program. It's basically his response. And he was saying that, you know, that's been his theme on a lot of budgetary issues. And Cruz, I thought, very effectively said, look, the problem is not because Trump keeps emphasizing that we just have stupid people running these programs. And Cruz said the problem is not a lack of smart people in government. The problem is government. So it's not a question of getting the smart people in charge. And then secondly, regardless of Cruz's own little dance on ethanol, it is true that the other candidate, that Trump criticized Cruz for not adequately supporting ethanol in Iowa, mm-hmm. which is, again, just goes to show that unfortunately with Trump, on philosophy, there really is just no there. There is no guiding philosophy other than anytime somebody says common sense conservatism, it makes me think of compassionate conservatism. Anytime they put an adjective in front of it, it's always getting worse. Then the more adjectives, the worse it is. That's my thought.
However, when you say conservative, that's pretty bad on its own.
Maybe
an adjective is a good thing. I don't know.
I know.
Anybody who's calling themselves a conservative these days, I distrust them.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah, it is such a shame. But, you know, and another shame on this is that it is a shame that – I mean, look, I'm obviously not going to agree with Trump on a lot of things. There's nothing I can do about that. But I'm heartened by some things that he says on foreign policy. But it is an incredible shame how almost – defiantly uninformed he is on this, that all he has to do is sit down with Scott Horton for an hour and he will be – half an hour – and he'll be able to wipe the floor with these people with all the details in the world and show every mistake and idiotic decision they've all made. He could do that, and instead it's 3 weak talking points over and over. He should be crushing them. I mean, I just – it's hard for me to watch a debate and not imagine what one of our people would be doing to these candidates on that debate stage. And so when there is somebody who's opposing the others and he's just does not have a command of the material, it really, really upsets and frustrates me.
Well, you know, I share that frustration, but I think it's not that he doesn't have a command of the material or couldn't have a command of the material very easily. I mean, we know if you're building a skyscraper – and I've talked to people who have worked for him. This guy is so detail-oriented. He knows every single thing that's going on, everything that everybody's doing. He's constantly looking to see what can be improved or has to be fixed. I mean, he's so hands-on, and he just knows everything about his business. So this guy has been thinking about running for president for, 10 or 12 years, who has done brilliantly and has beaten all these guys. I think it's a deliberate policy. He's because of the people he's speaking to. You know, the rest of them are saying, "Why you don't have a 700-page report written by layabouts in D.C. That, of course, won't be that nobody will read after the election is just, I guess, just a way to pay off the consultants." Nobody cares when they say that, and people are only. I think it's a whether it's a good thing or not is another question, but I think it's a deliberate. His style, his manner of speech, the kinds of things he discusses, whether when he repeats things, is all intended to reach the majority of people, and I think that's what he's doing. So he's bad on, of course, many, many different things. On the other hand, his clarity from the standpoint of all the people on Social Security, want to be on Social Security, of course, is brilliant. He's to the left of Hillary Clinton on Social Security. Even Bernie, he's the left of Bernie Sanders on Social Security. So it's one of the things, as one of the MSNBC guys pointed out this morning, will make him such a dangerous general election campaign candidate against Hillary. So, I wish he were different. I wish I always thought Ron Paul's position on Social Security in his campaigns was absolutely brilliant. He said anybody who's over a certain age, absolutely, they're going to keep their benefits. They're not going to be cut. The retirement age is not going to be increased. But under the age, and maybe it's 55, maybe it's under the age of 50, people can opt out. Younger people can opt out, and they don't have to pay those horrendous Social Security taxes. They're free to take care of themselves. We need an opt-out option, and maybe somebody will get to. I don't know whether is Trump reachable on any of this stuff. I don't know. On the other hand. In his business matters, he consults all the smartest people. He's nothing like the blustery guy, I'm told, by people who've worked for him, nothing like the blustery guy that we see on stage. He's indeed a nice guy, very intense, extremely smart, very detail-oriented, knows everything. So if he wanted to know every single in and out about Social Security, I'm sure he could learn it all. Maybe he even knows it all. I don't know. Or maybe he feels he doesn't have to know it all. But it's not happenstance. None of this is off the cuff, even though he speaks that way. But, of course, that's all a deliberate thing. And of course, he makes a point that he's the only one without a teleprompter, although Ron Paul never used a teleprompter, of course, either.
Yeah, I still, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not entirely convinced, because he's a guy who wants to win and who wants to embarrass his opponents.
Yes.
And on foreign policy, he could really embarrass them. And he could easily find somebody who could brief him so that he could embarrass them. And unfortunately, it just doesn't seem to happen. Now, what about—
We need to have you play golf with him. That's what we need.
Yeah, I know. Oh, but then he'd spend all his time criticizing my golf game. All right. Cuba. They're all against, or well, okay, Trump has a nuanced view that I couldn't quite fully tease out or get, but they all are against having diplomatic relations with Cuba. Of course, Rubio knows this is red meat for a Miami audience. And of course, Cruz is obfuscating here when he's saying, you know, you're just going to continue in the Obama policy if you carry on with recognizing Cuba. Actually, what you'd be continuing on with is the Jefferson policy, because Jefferson's view was probably in the world, we're not going to like very many governments at all. But unless we want to be quote unquote isolationist, which remember is the biggest sin in the world, we're going to have relations with basically every country without exception, and not say, well, you know, you have to meet 27 demands before we'll open up a relationship with you. By the way, that's not how any negotiation ever works, but that's the U.S. government's version of negotiating. Yes, sure, we'll negotiate as soon as you meet all our demands, then we'll sit down with you. But see, that's what negotiation is. So for Rubio to say, yeah, I've got 27 precursors for us to – I mean, whatever the Cuban government is doing is irrelevant to the question of should a Cuban person be able to have commercial other sorts of interaction with an American person, with these two people. Forget about what the governments think. We unshackle the people in both countries is the correct opinion. And yet no one could really unequivocally say that last night.
And, you know, of course, Ron talked about having diplomatic relations with Cuba, free trade with Cuba. And he found, you would think this was, you know, the third rail in Florida. He found there was a huge generational divide among the Cuban Americans, that the younger Cuban Americans were not for what was going on. They wanted to go visit Cuba. They wanted to be able to trade and do business there. It was the older guys who remember the glory days of Batista or whatever who don't want it. So I was glad that Trump, I thought his whole plan was very unfortunate, although at least he said, look, 50 years is long enough for the embargo and for the all the stuff that's been going on that we need to change it. He just wouldn't do it like Obama. So it was like his position on Israel. It was much better than the others, but of course nowhere near as good as it should have been.
Let's see. What else? What are some other issues that I want to hit on here? I got to go back and look at my notes here. All right. So we got that. Then, of course, we did inevitably get the Israel discussion. and everyone making clear they will not be neutral. They're going to side with Israel, one of our strongest allies in the world. And then we got to finally get some kind of explanation of why Israel would be considered our strongest ally. So first, it's that they're a liberal democracy in an area where there aren't very many liberal democracies. Okay, but their internal form of government doesn't really have anything to do with why they would be considered an ally. An ally has to do with foreign affairs. So all right, so I waited. So I got... well, they give us intelligence and then something about military help. But I thought, well, that's rich. We're the ones subsidizing them. So I still didn't get much of an answer. And then I thought, yeah, they're giving us intelligent help for wars that they obviously benefit from, that everybody knows. By the way, it's anti-Semitic to say that Israel benefits from a war that hurts their regional foes. But see, that's not anti-Semitic, because that's just a geopolitics 101. If you harm somebody's foe, you help them. That's just the way it is. So if Armenia, which is because I'm half Armenian, had a lot of regional foes and we were fighting them, I would not think it was anti-Armenian for anyone to point out that this helps Armenia. This is just common sense. So yeah, obviously they share intelligence for stuff like that. So that makes them a great ally. I didn't get any sense of that whatsoever.
No, of course, it was just the regular singing of the Israeli national anthem and saluting their flag and the rest of the stuff that goes on. And it's, of course, because of the money these people are getting. Trump, when he spoke to the Republican Jewish Coalition, said, I'm very pro-Jewish. I have Jewish relatives in my family. Love you guys. You are great deal makers like me. But he said, you know, I don't want your money. I'm not going to take your money. And I know you're going to be upset at me because I'm not going to take your money and you're not going to own me. So that these other three guys don't have those either correct or incorrect scruples. They're happy to take the money, especially Rubio. But, you know, all three of them are neocons. And so this is part of the I don't know, the initiation rite or something that they have to go through this ridiculous exhortation and statement of devotion to, you know, what we're supposed to think is the most important country in the world, maybe more than the U.S., maybe not more, but that's, you can argue that, and that's okay. But I noticed nobody saying that about Armenia or England or Norway or...
Yeah, and there's no country in the world where in a debate like this, they would be obsessed with some other country. You know, this is crazy. And again, you are smeared and condemned. But, you know, Lou, it doesn't matter to me because I got a show that isn't on a channel. So they can't take me off. There's nothing to take me off of. You know, they can't stop me. I just keep doing the show. I'm just asking questions here, Lou, right? As far as I know, I'm still allowed to do that. I want to talk about Ben Carson. Now, do you think he would have endorsed Cruz if it hadn't been for the dirty tricks allegations?
You know, I don't know. I think, part of it may be just on a human level, Cruz, as everybody tells us, is extremely unlikable. I mean, that was true of kids in college all his life. Everybody, and of course, everybody in Washington, including all the creeps, just can't stand him. And, I think is that part of the problem with Carson? I know that Cruz was begging Carson for his endorsement, and rather than endorse, so it's really a body blow to Cruz that he endorsed Trump. And they had apparently a meeting this morning. Carson gave a coherent speech about education and other things he was interested in, but why he was supporting Trump, and because he thought he was the people's choice, and he thought it was an outrage that all the people in the establishment wanted to block the people's choice. And so it's funny to see all this kind of rhetoric used, against the people who are normally employing it against the rest of us. So I think it helps. I think if there's anybody whose supporters, no matter how few they are remaining, who were just as devoted to their guy as Trump's supporters are to him, it's Carson.
Yeah, that's right.
So whether it's 5 or 6, 7% or whatever, some significant number of those are going to move to Trump. And that's very good for him.
Yeah. So I was surprised at that, especially because I had kind of been led to believe by some people I talked to that pretty much all the other candidates would drop out and endorse whoever the anti-Trump was. So the fact that Christie and Carson both endorsed Trump was a real surprise to me.
Well, of course, they want the main chance, too. I mean, they figure that he's going to be the president. Certainly he's going to be the nominee. And as I said, one thing the nominee can do is choose the head of the Republican National Committee. So I enjoy seeing Roger Stone put in that position instead of the disgusting Reince Priebus. So
Roger Stone is the head of the RNC.
Yeah, so that's alone worth the price of admission of this entire campaign.
All right. Now, there have been other items in the news. Is there anything else that's in the news that you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I thought it was very interesting that Jesse Benton has been hired by a new pro-Trump super PAC, and although Trump is anti-super PAC, these things are forming. And there's one called, I think, American Greatness.
I can't remember it either, like, but it's something like that. But we should tell people who Jesse Benton is, because yes. I still have new listeners all the time.
Well, Jesse Benton was Ron Paul's press aide in 2008, his campaign manager in 2012. Then he became Rand's campaign manager when he won the Senate race. Then he went to be the campaign manager for Mitch McConnell during his primary challenge, and against Matt Bevin, now the governor of Kentucky. And so now he's endorsing Trump and going to work for Trump, or for a pro-Trump organization is a better way to put it. So it struck me as very interesting news, at least in our little world.
Yeah, that is interesting news, and I have my own theories as to what might be going on there, but I'm not sure I want to necessarily go down this particular rabbit hole. I did find it interesting that when Politico reported on this, they did neglect a fairly important news item, which is that, you know, he is under indictment after all, because they re-indicted him, and he's supposed to be tried again in April. You'd think that would be relevant to the story, and yet They didn't think that. So where something tells me, Lou, that if I were under indictment, that'd be the only thing Politico would talk about.
No, and in fact, the last time there was a big D.C. story about him, and I'm not sure whether it was Politico or National Journal, they had huge quotes from him. It was, in effect, a story about what Jesse thought. They never mentioned that either. It's quite astounding. Either did they not know, or do they know and they're deliberately leaving it out? I mean, it's a conundrum, but it's an interesting one.
Yeah. All right. Is there any? I never want you to leave the episode feeling like you had something that you were dying to contribute that I didn't give you a chance to say. So, is there anything else we want to cover on this? Because I do
have one vicious comment to make.
Oh, please. We love those.
I had never noticed Marco Rubio's ears until Trump made a comment
Trump
about
made
it.
A comment
Marco
about
Rubio has gigantic ears. Not that that's anything against him, but it's just it's somehow I'd never noticed it. But the women have all noticed it, but I didn't notice it.
Well, the thing is, the political cartoonists presumably would have a field day with stuff like that.
Yeah, he's not going to have any political cartoons about him.
You know, Lou,
because he's disappearing. Yeah. It's one of the great. All these creeps who Trump has beaten, they're all disappeared.
Yeah, it's true. It's
so that's
true.
One good thing.
Lou, I want to tell you one thing before we wrap up. I had somebody. Maybe it was two debates ago, I try to send out an email to people about the episodes and other things that are interesting. And I got a response from somebody who did not like what you had said about Ted Cruz's appearance. And, you know, our point in that thing was obviously Cruz can't help this, but that the electorate does tend to vote on really superficial grounds. Not always, but they don't necessarily sit down and ask what is the business cycle theory of each candidate, you know? So anyway, I had somebody respond to my email sending out the episode saying, you know, how just lecturing us on how terrible this was, and he just couldn't believe it and this and that we would say such a thing. So in the old days, I would have just deleted his email and just forgot about it. But Lou, I have become if I may say so, I've become a very good email marketer. And I realized this guy sending this "I'm such a delicate flower" email to me is an email for me to send to people. So I wrote an email about, and the subject line was, "I just removed a delicate flower from my list." Huge open rate. People needed to know what was going on. I made a whole email out of it. And then I said, look, if you side with me and you're not a delicate flower, then support my supporting listeners program, whatever. And people did. So I made an email out of it. I just love entrepreneurship, Lou, because people are handing me opportunities to be entrepreneur. That guy made such a mistake writing that protest email to me. I made an email out of it. I didn't forward it to people, but I wrote my own email about, I can't believe a delicate flower like this is on my list, because that is not where you want to be. All right. Anyway, Lou. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just say, speaking of Cruz's appearance, I'm told, and I must say I didn't notice it, that in the last debate, his temples were grayed. He suddenly gone gray. Of course, it was dye to make himself look more mature, or I don't, or more serious. I don't know, but that was gone in this last debate. He didn't. He'd gone back to black. So
weird.
That's important news on the Cruz front.
Well, it's like Bush with the glasses versus the contact lenses. They were trying everything toward the end.
And let me just mention one other thing. That's even though as terrible as Trump is on so many things, one of the great things about Trump is, of course, the effect he's had. I would say he's made all Washington think tanks relatively irrelevant. He's made all the consultant class and all that. All these people who have made such big bucks in the past irrelevant. It's, of course, one of the reasons they hate his guts. But he's also made the big donors irrelevant, at least this time. So the Adelsons and the Kochs and these guys who are used to pulling all the strings and controlling everything. Doesn't matter what they spend, doesn't matter what they want, they're just other guys. In fact, Charles Koch had an interview where he was complaining that despite all the money he was spending, he wasn't having much influence. Well, you know, Charles, you may think that's a bad thing. Some of the rest of us think it's a great thing. So I think it really is a revolutionary situation. We don't know where it's headed, but it sure is great to see the Republican establishment smacked in the chops. Oh, I'm causing violence in the studio by saying that. But anyway, it's just a lot of fun.
Now, I think the next debate isn't until like a week and a half from now or something, but
yes.
This may be in flux because of Trump made a comment that there may be two debates. I mean, I don't even know, but at least you and I get a little bit of time off. But in the meantime, it is worth noting something that I heard on TV last night, because I don't know a lot of the technical details about which state is winner take all and that sort of thing. But after, I guess, this coming Tuesday, if Cruz doesn't make a really, really astonishing showing, he's going to have a very, very tough road ahead, because a lot of the states after that are proportional, so that even if he beats Donald Trump 55-45% in the popular vote, well, Trump basically will still get 45% of the delegates. So it'd be very hard for Cruz to really catch up in any significant way. So I think we're going to know an awful lot after this Tuesday.
Yes, let alone Rubio or Kasich.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, that's right. That's right. And I've been getting in my Twitter feed, I have a guy who follows me. We're very friendly. He's the only person I'm very friendly with who is a big Rubio supporter. I mean, it's one of these things. It's like if you had an uncle who was for Rubio, you wouldn't disown him. You know, you have to just say, well, I cannot understand for the life of me why you're doing this, but you are. And he was asking, you know, is it better to go down fighting? Or is it better to just drop out in advance? And, you know, he quotes Churchill about how it's best to go down fighting. I thought, you know what? If Rubio wants to this is my friend quoting Churchill, but if Rubio lives and dies by Churchill, so let him take that advice, stay in, fight, and be crushed, which I fear is, you know, for his sake, is what's going to happen in Florida. All right.
And this is of course, a neocon god. And let me just mention the fantastic Ralph Rako takedown of Churchill, explaining why he was a socialist and, of course, a warmonger and a very bad guy his entire life. You can look at lourockwell.com, look up Ralph Rako, R-A-I-C-O.
I'll link to it
His great article on Churchill. You'll never think the same about this creep after you read Ralph Rako, the great libertarian historian.
In his book, Great Wars and Great Presidents, A Libertarian Rebuttal. He reproduces the Churchill chapter
yes,
in there too.
That's right.
Which you can get from Mises. So I'm actually going to link to that at tomwoods.com/615. And I would also add, by the way, and I love that thing by Ralph Rako, that when I read Pat Buchanan's book, I think it's Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, the chapter on Churchill, which I know Ralph actually read and commented on for Pat. It says that right in the notes, so I'm not disclosing anything. I didn't think anything could top what Ralph Rako had done, but this is even longer, and it just absolutely is crushing and devastating.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Yep.
And in fact, I had Pat – that reminds me. I'll link to this. The episode with Buchanan – I had Pat Buchanan on to talk about Churchill some time ago, and I said, Pat, look, Churchill is voted the most admired man of the 20th century, whatever. You got a long row to hoe there, Pat. You know, how are you going to make this argument? But, you know, he's top-notch with stuff like this. All right, until next time, Lou, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, everybody. Before I let you go, I want to let you know about something that is relevant to a lot of you. I like to keep you posted if there are sales and discounts on things that matter to us. And I have a lot of people who are starting websites or blogs or contemplating starting one. I know that because I've had a lot of people write into me for the tutorials that I give away. I give away 24 free video tutorials to help get you up and running with WordPress so that you'll be a really skilled blogger in no time at all. I have a 5-minute video taking you through how to start your blog. That one's available right away. But if you want the tutorial videos, just drop me a line. But the way you get them is by going to tomwoods.com/publicity. Use my Bluehost affiliate link, and I will give you these free tutorials. Plus, I'll give you a shout-out for your site on my show and on the show notes page for that episode, and that should give you a bit of a publicity boost. So I do all this, and I've had people tell me those video tutorials really helped them so they didn't have to spend hours and hours and hours figuring out how to use WordPress, which is the platform you generally use for blogging. Well, anyway, Bluehost, I just got their newsletter, tells me that from March 14th through the 21st, 2016, they're having a special deal where it's only $3.49 a month for your hosting. That's a really, really good deal. So if you were thinking about starting a site, I would say hang on, wait till Monday the 14th before you do it, and then go to tomwoods.com/publicity. There you'll see my affiliate link is tomwoods.com/blue, and you'll see how to get all these free goodies from me. But definitely start it during that week because you're going to get a really, really terrific deal on hosting. All right, Monday on the show, Ron Paul joins us, and I asked him a lot of listener questions, which were good, juicy questions. So I hope you will join the tens of thousands who make listening to the Tom Woods Show part of their daily routine. Thanks for listening. See you Monday. Oh, actually, wait. No, hold on. Wait, don't turn it off. It's not Monday because I'm doing a bonus episode for you guys. I mean, this is unbelievable. The bonus episode is like the best idea I ever had. When I want to talk about something that's not strictly libertarianism, but that I still find interesting, I make it a bonus episode in addition to the 5 episodes a week that I do. And I generally release these bonus episodes on a Sunday. So the past couple of Sundays, I've done entrepreneurs. I had Sarah Young, who was a fantastic Amazon affiliate, and she was talking about how she does that and how she was able to stay home with her 7 kids that way. She's very smart, and she has a marketing website, and so I thought, she'd be great to talk to. And then the week before that, I had Ben Settle, the email king. There are several email kings. It seems odd, like it's a monarchy, but there are 3 of them. But Ben Settle is definitely one of them. And we talked about that, because if you're an entrepreneur, you got to know how to do email marketing. And I know I have entrepreneurs in the audience. So we had fun with Ben Settle, whose podcast I thoroughly enjoy listening to. But this Sunday, I've had people ask me to comment on the Catholic Church and the state of the Catholic Church and Pope Francis. So I'm going to do that with my friend Roger McCaffrey, who's been a close friend, family friend for many years, who's extremely knowledgeable about this, was a Catholic magazine publisher and book publisher, and he knows this whole question inside and out. We're going to have a fantastic conversation together. So if that doesn't interest you, you see the word bonus in the episode title, you just skip right over it. You know, pretend it never happened. But this way, I get to do stuff that I'm interested in that might try the patience of my regular listeners as a regular episode, but I can do it as a bonus, and we're all happy. So enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you on Sunday if you want to listen to that episode. Otherwise, Ron Paul on Monday. Thanks so much.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.